cannot get enough of my jingle. I absolutely love it. Welcome to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Today is Wednesday, March the 2nd, 2016. I'm so excited about this show. I'm always excited about our shows. Today we have a power-packed show full of excitement and entertainment for those of you who want to sing, be in plays, be in movies, if you want to be a promoter, if you want to be a playwright, if you want to know about fashion and being a fashion designer, or even being a stylist, this is the show you want to listen to. Entertainment, entertainment at its best. I'm going to start right off with my guest, Raquel. She is known as Rocky. She's the one that wrote and sang the jingle for Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. And I'm so glad to welcome you. Thank you, Raquel.
Thank you so much. I love it. When I heard it, I was like, I like it. I'm really critical. So that's like, I try to remove myself from any work that I've done so I can really have a critical ear. I love it.
I love
I'm
it
so
much.
You're happy with it.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, it's catchy, and it's just, I knew when I first heard it, this was the one. So I'm just thankful that God had us come together, because I got so many other things that I've got going on, but I know that you got going on, and I'm excited to tell people who you really are, because, I mean, it's just so much to you. And I'm just excited about meeting you. I mean, I don't even know how God did it, but I'm thankful. I mean, okay,
amen.
So let me just get right to it, because I know I talked to your manager, and we were talking about how both of us, we can chatter, so we have to spend more time together. But right now, let the listeners know more about you.
Okay.
So starting off, me reading your press kit, I read that you were the first Black female Mouseketeer on Disney's 90s, the Mickey Mouse Club. Tell us what that was like.
Well, you know, it was an experience. I really enjoyed just showing up to set and just working every day, because it's a daily show, so we had to, you know, we'd shoot all the time. And it was just really a good time to always be on stage, always be, you know, performing in front of the audience and really getting people pumped up and being happy all the time, because, you know, that's part of it. But I don't think that was a stretch for me, because I'm always, you know, pretty happy 99% of the time.
So
it was
I love
an awesome
the energy.
Experience.
I love the energy. So it
Thank
was an
you.
Awesome experience. That's, I mean, and you know what? You fit the bill even then, I'm sure then, and even, well, now I know, because you're just so full of energy, and I love talking to you and everything. So it's always fun. I want to talk about the Ed McMahon Star Search. So I also found out, not only were you on the Mickey Mouse Club, but you were also on the Ed McMahon Star Search. And then I was told that you were the longest reigning teen on there, winning not one, but two championship titles. Yeah. As a teen, was that challenging emotionally, Raquel?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, at the time, like when I first started competing, I was 12 years old. I hadn't even turned 13 yet, but because by the time the show would air, or, you know, a few shows in, I'd be 13 then. So I'm, like, going up against these 18-year-olds, and whew, it was challenging. It was challenging emotionally, mostly. You know, a lot of things were, it was weird, you know, in competing, you know, people do a lot of things that aren't, you know, very sportsman-like, or what is this, you know, it's talent-like, I don't know what you call that, but there's not very very nice sportsmanship, and so, it was really challenging emotionally, and just being up there, you know, because the goal is to win. I don't really like competitions, but because I don't like what it brings out in people, but, the goal was, you know, it's win, and I thought even at that age, you know, instead of competing against other people, compete against yourself. Be better than you were last time you sung. Be better than that. Let's just get better every episode. So that's what I concentrated on, and it was an awesome experience, too, you know, to really prepare me for, you know, the future stuff that was to come.
I mean, you know, people lose all ethics when it comes to something that they really want. It's very, it takes a godly person and a real, you know, a well-rooted person to be able to not lose ethics and morals when it comes to challenges that way. And I'm sure you just at that age, just to have that guidance and that focus and that drive just to focus on You know what? Let me just focus on what I'm doing. You know, let me tune out everything else. It's just, you know, walking the narrow way and keeping your eyes on the prize and opposed to worrying about other people is just such great advice for the listeners, even listening now. Either you're going to a competition or your children are. It's just always wise to just really focus on how you can do better. So were the hours long? I mean, was it a long, drawn-out process daily?
No, not daily. You know, we just come in and go over our songs, make sure our outfits are together. And then after that, you know, we're free the rest of the day. You know, I don't really remember how long it took those hours. But it wasn't long hours. I had more longer hours at the Mickey Mouse Club. You know, I was really there all day long.
All day. Wow.
But I had to go to school, too. So I was there all day. But with Star Search, you know, you just come in, do your songs, make sure they have their angles, the music's right. Do your outfits, and then you're out of there. It was the day of the shoot. That was the longest day, the day of the shoot.
Yes. Okay, I can imagine that. Nora's Hair Salon. Some of you may know this movie. I mean, she's been in movies, too. Was it your first movie experience with Nora's Hair Salon?
It was not my first movie experience, but it was my first experience just being with a star-studded cast. So in that case, yeah.
And who all was in the cast with you?
Tatiana Ali, Jennifer Lewis, Tamala Jones. So it was fun.
Wow, heavy. What was that like working with all of those known actors and actresses? What was that like?
You know, it was really that too was a great experience. You know, these things we talk about were great experiences.
it sounds like a blessing to me. Door after door, opening just bam, bam, bam. It sounds very amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't opening like that, but yes. but that is, if that's the impression, then I'll go with that.
Yeah, well, it looks good to us. It sounds delightful because I know it's people still really, you know, they're trying to do everything they can to just get one to one door and be able to walk through it. So truly it's a blessing and inspiring people listening and hearing your story. It's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. But it was, you know, it was really good working with them because everything, you know, everybody's trying to get their work done. So it's just like, hey, how you doing? Oh, nice to meet you. Let's get the work done. And that's what it's all about, you know?
Great training. And now it brings me to tell us about Always Count On You. This is your new project. God is all in it. Inspirational, beautiful songs. Please tell the listeners about this project and how you came about.
Okay. Always Count On You is a collection of praise and worship songs that you can dance to and get intimate with Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, that's what it is. This is just a collect. How did I come to it? You know, actually, you know, like you say, you know, all these doors are opening. Well, you know, they open, they close, they open, they close.
Right.
And
that's
it all takes work. Right, exactly. That's obvious, right? And it takes dedication, you know? And at this point, I was just like, you know what? I've had it. I'm just going to be out of the music. But I felt like the Lord was just, he kept pulling at me, you know? It's just, and then on the inside, it just felt like the desire kept growing. And the more I was like, no, I don't want to do it, the more the desire kept growing. And it wasn't until I really submitted to just doing music again. And once I submitted to doing music again, my songwriting abilities just opened up. And this was what I started writing. I started writing praise and worship songs, and this is my collection of those songs that I wrote, and it's called Always Count On You.
Always Count On You. And let me tell you something, Rocky, listen, the jingle that you did, I mean, just the energy. You guys, if you've been listening to that, just take that into a worship, and I'm telling you, you need to get this CD. You need to get the project. Always Count On You. Always Count On You. I'm going to say it one more time. Always Count On You is a must-get CD. It's upbeat. It's pure. It's from the heart. It's straight from the Lord's just the heavens, and he is really pouring out on her. Give us something briefly before we end the show. In your segment, I wanted to go and you give the listeners something encouraging just to go on if they're interested in music and singing and acting.
Okay, this is what I'd say. Follow your heart. And I know it's kind of cliche. I mean, I don't want to be cliche, but it really is true. Follow your heart and do what you know the Lord is telling you to do. And if you don't know what it is, just get in that time of being intimate with Him until He tells you what it is. Because it really is about following your heart and being happy in this life, because you only get one shot at it. You can't come back and do it over. You only get one shot, and this is the shot. And you want to, when you go home, that He says, you know, great work, you did awesome. And that's what I want to hear from Him, that I really followed my heart, did what He told me to do, and that He will just be like, just smiling from ear to ear when I get there. And He's smiling ear to ear now, too, because, I mean, it matters here, too, as well.
Ooh, listen, Raquel, you had me say amen, because you preached on that. I think that was my first amen on Dr. Gina's radio chat. I'm so sorry. That brought me to amen, and I want to say hallelujah, because it's consistency, it's passion, and basically it's about, like you said, you were in and out, you know, because it's challenging. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy. God will bring it to you, but there's challenges, and that's because you are an overcomer. He doesn't bring challenges to those that are not overcomers. Overcomers overcome things. We're victors.
That's right.
He named us these things because we overcome challenges and tests and trials. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, we do things to please Him. I love when you said that. It's for His glory. And I just want to leave you with this, and also the listeners. So I was on a prayer line, and one of my spiritual brothers said, whatever you do, you have to sustain it. But when God does it, He sustains it. So remember that if it's of God, He's going to take you right on through, all the way through the door, open the door, usher you through, walk you through, sit you down, feed you to, and everything else. He's going to do all that. So tell me, Raquel, can you please let us know how they can get in touch with you? What's your social media, your email, website, all of that?
I'm everywhere. You can contact me at Raquel Herring. com, Raquel Herring, Herring.com. And that's my hub for everything. And you can find me on all social networks through that link.
All right. Love it. Thank you so much.
And you can
much.
Buy my album there.
Oh yeah, please purchase her album.
Yeah.
Go out and get her album. Go
and
get it. Go get it. Please go get it. It is worth the buy. It is so inspirational, so uplifting, just glorifying God. You're going to love it. Raquel, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you were able to join us on Dr. Gina's radio chat. God bless you, sis, and I look forward to talking to you again soon, okay?
God bless you, too. Thank you. Same here.
You're welcome, love. Oh, I love her. I love her, y'all. Talk to you soon.
Have a great day.
You too.
Hi, this is Martha Munizzi, and you are listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Hey, we got Jerron online on the air now. Lavelle. Hi, Jerron.
How you doing? Good morning.
Hey, the stylist of the celebrities. Listen, I want to get how you been doing today.
I'm great.
That's great. Straight from St. Louis. Listen, how long have you been in styling?
I would say professional styling, I would probably say 4 years. But I've been doing it for a while. But professionally, I've been doing it for 4 years.
So let me ask you a question. When did you get in touch with your first celebrity? How did all of that come about? 4 years and then you go right into celebrity status. How does that happen?
Well, it didn't just happen just like that. What it started off was, I started doing local artists in St. Louis. And then when I did local artists, we every year for the last, well, I say 6 years, we have the Koji Convention down in St. Louis. And it's a lot of, you know, big gospel artists that come down. So one Sunday Best, she was freshly off Sunday Best. First it came Amber Bullock. She reached out to me, and then it came Alexis Spike. So it was a lot of gospel artists that reached out. The very first one I did was Amber. It was basically just a word of mouth. Have you heard about this dude in St. Louis? You know, he's from your city too. And then it went from her. Then Alexis Spike reached out. I was like, hey, she saw me. I did this artist named Corey Barrett at a live recording he did, and she got my information, and that's how that happened.
And you know, that ain't nobody but God. Who can do that? That is
right.
Nobody
everything
but the Lord.
everything that really has happened is because of God. A lot, I get this question all the time of how you get started, how do you do this, and I get a lot of emails regarding how, you know, up-and-coming stylists, or how do you get in contact with celebrities, how do you start, how can you go pull clothes, and I just basically, when it comes to celebrity, because I look at them as regular people because they are, it's all, mm-hmm. it all was God, and I believe in the Bible verse when it say your gift will make room for you, and it will put you in front of, you know, put you in front of wonderful people, and that's all God has really done.
I am loving the energy today. God is getting all the glory. I am so loving that. Listen, so that's basically how you got started with BET Awards.
Right. With the the first award show that I ever done was the Stellar Awards. And the Stellar Awards came about, it was Leandra Johnson. Most people know her. She won Sunday Best. She also right now is on Preachers of Atlanta. Her manager, Rob, reached out. And basically, they wanted me to come to the Stella Awards, so I flew down to the Stella Awards, and I styled her. That was the very first award show. It's basically, Stella Awards is more like the Grammys for gospel artists. So, mm-hmm. It was very exciting because, you know, to be backstage and see people who, you know, you grew up listening to and see, you know, all the interviews and see how people get prepared for, because it was on live TV at that time, for it to be live. It was a very awesome experience.
I'm just excited even hearing about what God has done for you in 4 years, 4 and 5 years. It's amazing. So what projects are you doing now? Are you working with any artists right now?
Right now, I just currently stopped working with Chrisette, and that was because she's currently looking for a new record deal, and she also just started her own record company. So right now, I am currently, I just opened up a store last year called J. Ron Lavelle. I'm trying to open up a second location either in Nashville, or I might do the second location more south of St. Louis. Now, I'm not really working. I've been working with a lot of just everyday people. I get a lot of calls. I work with, you know, a lot of doctors, a lot of, you know, normal people, local artists. So right now, that's my main focus is styling. I'm just at the point now that, you know, matter if you're a celebrity, if you're a regular person, I just want you to look good and I'm going to style you. So that's
that
what, but
is
I also, I'm sorry, Jenny, let me say this. I am trying to, right now, we're working on a deal for a reality show they call Real Stylist, Real Celebrity Stylist. So I'm doing it with this guy named Celebrity Stylist John Ross. He's based out of Atlanta, but he's done like Mariah, he's done a lot of people. So that's the contract that we're working on right now.
Aha, and in Jesus' name, it shall be done. That is so that is so amazing, Jerron. I'm so happy for you. And so it's called Jerron Lavelle's Fashion Bar. So when you say working with, you know, everyday people, working people, pastors, public figures, and et cetera, anyone can shop at your store, right?
Yeah, my store is, but how I started off Jerron Lavelle Fashion Bar, because we know in St. Louis, it's a lot of boutiques, mostly everywhere. You know, everyone is doing the boutique style, but I didn't want to just be a boutique. I wanted to be a one-stop shop. So when I was on the road touring with Chrisette, I would get a lot of calls like, oh, Ken, do you know if she have a makeup artist? Do you know if she have a hairstylist? And which she did, we all traveled with her. But I was like, you know what? I just want to give something back to the city. I want to open up a one-stop shop where you can, you know, get styled, you can get your hair done, you can get your makeup done all in one. And you also, if men could come and shop and get, you know, get styled and also get their hair cut. So that's how I opened that up. That's how that came about.
I think it's a great idea, and it works. Let me ask you a question real quick, because you got to help the people. Give us something briefly, fashion statement, help. Help the people. Just give one fashion,
advice. This is what I tell women. This is one thing I tell women. It don't matter if you're small, you have a good. If you're big, I just tell everyone to put on the shaper and the girdle. It's one thing to see a woman out that has a stomach and she has a form-fitted dress on and you see her stomach. I think women should always have the proper undergarments on when they step out anywhere. That's what I just advise anyone.
I think it's great advice.
I'm sorry to interrupt. When it comes to men, I just tell you, always have a tailored suit on. Your pants should not be coming all the way over your shoes and you're on your way to an event. Them the only two things I just tell people.
Well, bam. I think that's great advice. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I pray that everybody take heed to that, because I do think that, you know, we do need to wear the proper garments. And, you know, you've always said that, you know, every time that you've ever styled me, it's just, you know, the advice is that we always have to have the proper garments, because you never know how the dress is going to look and fit you, and just anything. You might eat something, sit down a certain way, and I think it's called a what is that thing, the lower stomach, a fupa, whatever they say that is. we don't need, if we can control that, we need to get that together. If the sit-ups ain't working, we need to get a garment to push that in. Okay, so with that being said, can people purchase your fashions online?
Yes, you could go on jryanlavelle.com. That's basically, it's a little, it's everything on there. It's about how I got started. It's my biography. It's also, you can shop women. I have a clothing line they call AJR. It's the name is after my children, Abella, Jade, and RJ. But that's the men clothing shirt line I got out with zippers. But that's basically it. You go on the website, and that's the website name.
Okay, so all social media, where are you?
On Instagram, I'm under Stylist. _ Jaron. Everything else is under Jaron Lavelle. So Facebook is Jaron Lavelle. Instagram is Stylist_Jaron. And Twitter is Jaron Lavelle.
Well, all right. You guys need to get in touch with him. I'm telling you, I love working with him. He's always a bowl of fun, and he is straight up honest, but in a loving way. He is very, very, I love his colors, and just, he's different. It's not the norm. He's going to, if you're making a fashion statement, you're definitely going to make a fashion statement, rather it be office wear, gym wear, all of that. He's done all of that for me. Most of those, the work, my red dress, the green dress, and what else? The black suit I had on with my hair up, looking like I was in one of those spaceships or somehow MacArthur had me. You know, he does all of that. It's just so, he's just amazing. So get in touch with him. Thank you so much, Jaron. I appreciate you. You know I love you. And we're going to see each other
too.
Again. Okay, St. Louis right here.
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you now.
God bless you too.
Hey, yo, what's up? Hey, yo, what's happening? It's the big homie, Life Jennings, right here, man. And listen, you are listening to Dr. Gina's radio chat, man. So whatever else you chatting about, put that chat on pause, man, and turn this chat right here up, man. Dr. Gina, Life Jennings. Yeah.
Angela Barrow. Dunlap.
Hello, Dr. Gina.
Is on with me right now. I love her, straight from the D. And she is on the air from the D. I'm so glad that she was able to take time out of her schedule to be able to chat with us. I'm telling you, welcome, Angie. I'm so glad that you are here with us today.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, so let me get right at it, okay? When I first met you, I know we crossed paths in Detroit. We were talking about this briefly yesterday, but when we really officially met was in D.C., and you had Dave Rubin and Joe Meacham. They were doing your play, the promotion. I think Al Wash had his hands in it a little bit, too. But anyway, that's how I met you. And I'm telling you, I hadn't been in church. I had really moved away from God. And the play, Why Good Girls Like Bad Boys. Oh, my goodness. I'm talking about anointed, so anointed that I saw it, thanks to Joe Meacham. I was able to see it like maybe over a dozen times every night, really, at least 2 and 3 times I would see it. And every time it just touched me, it planted seeds in me. It gave me, it opened me up to seeing my life. You know, the decisions that I had made. Oh, God. It just really touched me, Angie. It was so anointed. And I would cry, girl. I would cry like as if I was in service and God was just right there. And he was. I believe that play was so anointed that he was definitely in the midst. And you guys kept, you know, advancing it. And it had lasers. And it started taking a life of its own. And I started, it was just things happening. And the play just evolved and just more and more and more. And it just got big, 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 big. Tell us what that was like for you as a playwright and at the beginning of that and then seeing how far it went.
Oh, wow. It was such just an example of the power of God and faith. our company then was called Prayer Works Productions, and honey, that was for a reason, because it exceeded our expectations. You know, we started out basically sharing our own truths. There was a lot about that story that was taken from my life. And we initially, we could not find funding for the show. So Joe Meacham came along, and he believed in it. And we developed the show, and we depended on family members to get it showcased. And promoters told us, oh, no, that title won't work. Because my stories are edgy. My stories come from a real place, and the idea is to attract people who are not in church to be able to get the message to what we call the unchurched. And we certainly were able to achieve that goal. We went on to Atlanta to showcase the play. Again, promoters would tell us, oh, no, that title is too edgy. And we were trying to, Lizzie Berry and I, my partner at the time, we were trying to come up with other titles, but this is what God gave us. So we stuck with it. We put it up ourselves. Promoters came from everywhere. We literally had to choose between promoters. They ended up fighting over the play. So that was amazing and overwhelming. and the first night, one of the promoters told us, oh, no, that was no good. And I remember Joe Meacham and I walking home from the venue in the rain with tears streaming down our faces. But, you know, we kept going, because that's one thing that you never can afford to do is give up. You can't afford to believe the enemy's lies, not for one second. So we revamped and made the necessary changes. And again, promoters were still fighting over it. And we ended up going on a tour that lasted for over 2 years and touching so many lives. I mean, we were going into prisons. In every city, we would go into battered women's shelters, and we would bless women with tickets to the play, and you know, we dressed them and things of that nature. We would always make it a point to connect with young women and bring them behind the scenes and introduce them to the cast and things of that nature. I still get letters to this day from women in the prison system that we touched, and lives were changed. So, I mean, that show, it was really a blessing. I mean, even, like you said, the level of production, we were blessed to have lasers and, you know, on the screen, we had a projection, and, you know, we had the best sound system and just the whole nine.
It blew my mind. I mean, it was just seeing God just, you know, and I think because it had such a long run, and it was able to go in full circles to the same, you know, states and cities again, they get to see, get to see it again and see how God has really increased. Oh my God, it was amazing. It was amazing. But then you went on and did If These Hips Could Talk, and then you did Church Girl. I mean, the list goes on. You've worked with celebrities. You've done castings for your own plays. I mean, the list just goes on. Which one of those are like, I mean, I hate to put you on the spot, but you're the playwright. Which one was your favorite one out of those?
I've been asked that so many times, and I cannot answer that, because there are elements of each one. If I could take a piece of each one and put it together, there's so much of me and so much that, you know, is just meaningful to me in each, that, you know, that is really, really a difficult question that I have not yet been able to answer.
And that's okay, because they're all good and they're all anointed. I've seen them all, and they all had an effect on me. But how did If These Hips Could Talk come about?
If These Hips Could Talk started out, actually, it's pretty funny. It was a group of girls on a trip to the islands, and one of them, she has really big hips, And she had put on a sarong and started complaining about her hip, the size of her hip. And so it became a running joke. It was like, if these hips are tall, ooh, what would they say? Girl, I don't know. My hips would tell you everything. You know, so it started as a running joke. And as we began to, like, I would have round tables with women talking about their issues and things of that nature. And I wouldn't just have, like, women from the church. I literally, at one of the round tables, brought in a prostitute. And I wanted to hear her story. And just the things, there was something about this play that would make women just come in and pour out their hearts. And when this woman sat in front of me and she said, she talked about when she was a little girl and her grandfather would tell her, hey, honey, I'll give you $1 if you let me play with your breath. And things like that, you know, that just, you know, it made me see how important this piece was, how this wasn't just entertainment, but it's medicinal, that it was a way for women to talk through and to actually heal and not be prisoners to their past, to understand that you don't have to condemn yourself because of mistakes you made, that, you know, God loves you no matter what. There's nothing you can do to change that.
And you know what's so funny? You know, this is what's amazing about you and how I can relate. You know, people don't understand. Jesus came for the people that was in the streets. You know, people have an issue with people, you know, talking to prostitutes, focusing on prostitutes or drug dealers or et cetera. But he came for those people. And in the process of him dealing with them, the church was supposed to see the works of his anointing and get checked on that. Like Peter got checked and Paul got checked. I mean, it's like you're saved. And so your time with God is supposed to transform you. But then those are people that don't know the way. So we have to focus on those that don't know the way, but then you're still in your process. So hopefully while you're seeing them get go through their process and get introduced to God, it's opening your heart to get freer yourself as well. But he came for the prostitutes and the drunks and the addicts and the dope dealers and stuff. He came for them. So I love how you always say that. You're and it's edgy because that's the attention you have to draw. You have to meet people where they are. And your plays are so just anointed, but it's just, it has such a charisma, I would say. It's not a harsh and in your face, but it's just like, dang, I can really relate to that. That's me. It's like sitting in a congregation and the pastor is talking and you swear that he talking about, he done been in your house, put a microphone in your conversations, but it's nobody but God. And that's why your plays are so anointed. Yeah, Angie. Awesome.
Thank you. Because God is saying, tell my stories, daughter. And that to me is such an honor. And it's just important to me that, you know, I tell the truth. There is no story like a true story. And it's about relatability. These people know when you've been there. They know if they can relate to what's happening on stage, then you get their attention. And then you have, you know, you have a door to be able to get in and make a difference.
And so that's pretty much what inspires you. It inspires you just to what? What inspires you?
Well, what inspires me is basically just being able to be a vehicle for change. To introduce God to people who feel like they're not even worth.
Yes.
You know, that is the whole thing for me. It seems like, you know, I've talked to so many young people who they get turned off by the church. And my mission is to show them that, you know, it's not about that. It's not about that. I want to show them that they are accepted, they are worthy, they are loved, and they're not being judged.
So how long have you been in the business now, Angie?
About 27 years.
And she looked like she only 20-something herself. Unbelievable. So is it still exciting to you? Is it just as exciting as it was in the beginning?
Well, I've had a rebirth, so I'm excited all over again.
Praise God. I think all of us can relate to all of that. I got to bring you back on the show after you finish this next project so we can go into that section, you know, as much as you want to share, because it's inspiring the people. People don't understand, and we were talking about that yesterday. When you go through a process, sometimes it's a lay down and go through your process and get back up with resurrection power. They don't understand. Sometimes you got to just sit for a second. And I would love to have you back on again after your project. You can't really tell us much about it, but it's something big. God told me it was. So I'm glad that you did take that time that God allotted you so you could be ready, because you're going to need all that time of rest and preparation and all of that for what he's doing right now. So now we know that you own something. Now you can't really tell us about it, but I can tell the listeners on your behalf that you need to stay tuned. And how do they do that, Angie? What's the social media that they can follow you on?
My website, AngelaDunlap.com, and they can connect with me through my website, to Facebook and Twitter and all. But that's AngelaDunlap.com.
Well, all right, Angie, you know I love you to pieces and back together again.
I love
your spirit. I mean, I love your spirit. I love your energy. I love your heart for God. I just love how he uses you. You're just so anointed, gifted hands for sure. Just a brief leaving some words of encouragement for someone that may want to be in the business.
What I like to leave them with is just don't believe the lies. The enemy likes to constantly remind us of all our weaknesses, mistakes, and sins, and, you know, just set us up for self-doubt and condemnation. And I just want to remind them that nothing we do will ever make God stop loving us. He sees what we do when we make mistakes, and he wants us to realize that we don't need to hide. We don't have to live under guilt and condemnation when he's willing to forgive us. And your past, you know, you don't have to be a prisoner to it. Just never give up. Kind of keep going and just know that you're righteous in him. And don't give up on your dreams. People say that, but I mean that. Don't give up.
I'm telling you, consistency is key. Don't give up. You will start seeing things get better and better if you just keep on going. Angie, thank you so much for those words of wisdom and inspiration and impartation. Definitely anointed. I love you so much. I can't wait to have you on again. And we'll be in touch. Thank you.
Okay. All righty, honey. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is comedian A-Train, and you're listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Al Wash.
Ma'am.
Thank you for waiting, Al Wash, the great promoter of this nation. I have to say that long run and longevity, success in every way. I'm so glad to have you on. You know, Angela Vera just got off. You know, we talked about why good girls like bad boys and all of that. And so you're familiar with her. And anyway, I was telling the listeners as I was marketing the show, you've done things as far as shows, as far as jazz, gospel, rap. I mean, you've done it all. You've even done the Cotton Bowl Classics in Dallas. I mean, how many shows a year are you doing? I mean, you've just been so busy.
Well, it's not nowhere close to what we used to do, but I would say that we're rolling at about 100 shows or more a year.
That is amazing.
One time we was up to 400 and something a year.
Well, you know, Al, you are big time in this nation. I know if anyone has ever heard of any promotions going on, I know that they have heard of Al Wash and Al Wash Entertainment. So let me ask you this, Al. Can you give some people some advice, these newcomers that, you know, think that promotions is easy? Just can you give some words of wisdom and some structure to help the people out not lose a boatload of money? Can you help them, please?
Well, my word of wisdom is a little bit different from most people. most people gonna give you encouraging and things encouraging that you think you want to hear. My thing is, don't do it.
Oh.
You know, it's not for everybody. Promotion is like any other field, athletes or anything. You know, the best athletes aren't on the field. The best pastors aren't in the churches. You know, there's the best of everything, you know, has not been discovered. And it's only a few people that's going to make it in any field. And this promotion game, it used to be if you had the money, you could do it and you can stand the losses. And eventually you're going to learn how to do it. But, you know, a lot of people don't have that financial backing, you know, to stay there long enough in order to, you know, you can lose a lot of money in this business in one night. You can lose more money in one night than what people make in a lifetime.
Mm. So, I mean, is there negotiable, is like dealing with artists, how do you find the artists and, you know, is it negotiable with them? I mean, because I've been told that now artists are asking for a boatload of cash now just to perform. Is that ever negotiable, and how do you find these artists?
Well, everything is negotiable, but depending on who you are, if you're new in the business, you know, the negotiation is very slim to none. If you've been in the business like I have, you know, I do have a little negotiating power, but it kind of depends on the artist. You got guys out there that feel like, when they win an award or have a record played on the radio, you know, when they come to promotions, that means they can get more money, you know. But, you know, having a record played on the radio or winning a Stellar's Grammy, that ain't selling tickets. There's a difference in selling tickets than winning a Stellar Award or having a record on the radio. All that helps. But it don't mean that your price should go from $20,000 a night to $50,000 a night because you won an award or you have the record in some kind of rotation on the radio. I mean, don't get me wrong, it helps, but it don't mean that I'm gonna sell, you know, 2,000 tickets where I've been selling, you know, maybe 300-400 tickets with you all the time.
Mm-hmm. I totally understand that. So how do you, okay, give the people just a little bit of understanding of how do you balance what you have on your plate as far as your finances, your budget, and then when you're looking for artists, how do you compare, okay, so they have their price, you have your budget, it matches your budget, but then you have to worry about other things as far as transportation and audio and all of these things, insurance, venues. People don't understand that all of that also is outside of just getting the artist. Even if you're doing it at a club, say for instance, you're not even at that level where you're worrying about audio and all of that, and you're just doing it at a local club. You got a local artist. Okay, I mean, a artist that would be in a local club. How do they balance the ticket sales to match, to break even or to get a profit? You know, what is the percentage rate that you should have to even go into this business? How much more money you should have?
Well, I always try to use a balance to say 50% of selling a house. If a house, when I say a house, meaning a venue, if it holds 1,000 people, and I would feel like 50%, 500 people should be able to pay the bills, and the other 500 should be able to make profit. Mm-hmm. Now, it don't always work out that way. You have some artists and some shows that you do that it might get up around the 60, 70, 75% to sell, and that depends on the artist. If you have a Beyonce, and that's going to cost you, you know, $600,000-$700,000 a night, that margin is a lot less. You know, they feel like they gonna sell out because of who she is. Hmm. You know, but but it's a lot less of a margin there. You have to sell maybe 75-80% of the building in order to make some money because of what you have to pay. There's about 30 items or more that, you know, not only just the talent itself, but the advertising, the designing of a radio spot, the printing of the flyer. You got to pay somebody to put the flyers out. You got to get insurance. You got to, you know, get them from the airport to the hotel. You got to pay the hotel bill. You know, I mean, you know, there's catering involved. And there's very few people that can draw by themselves. And do, you know, Beyonce, you don't hear no opening act on her show. You know, there's very few people that can do that. And you got to team people up and put a combination first of what you feel good about. And you have to really feel good about it. Don't go out and just have somebody say, oh, they playing on the radio. I hear that record all the time. It ain't the same as selling tickets because you hear the record all the time or you hear the artists on the radio. You know, it's like selling tickets, it's a little bit different than hearing it on the radio or seeing it on TV. You can be oversaturated. And people can say, well, I can go to the movies and see them in a movie for $10. Why I'm going to pay $75 to go to a show.
That is a very good point. Because if it's always over and over and over again, they don't feel like they need to see them perform. That is so true. So let me ask you this. I'm taking you way back for just a couple of seconds. What was your very first show, Al? Do you remember what that experience was like?
I remember yesterday because...
Did you win? Did you lose? What did you do?
Well, you know, the thing that hooked me in this business, I made money on my first 15 shows.
Ooh.
And the first show that I did was an artist by the name of Johnny Taylor. Mm. And as I speak right now, I'm in Johnny Taylor's old office. I bought his building out of his estate, and it's my office today. I own the building, and it was the first show I ever did. I paid him too much money at the time. I spent too much money in advertising. I didn't know what I was doing. I put an act on the show, paid them too much money, but I worked it like I never worked before, and I made about $3,000 that night. And this is in the early 80s, or late 70s. You're talking about $3,000 back then was a lot of money to me. And the first 15 shows that I did, I made money. I thought this business was meant for me. You know, you make money on the first 15. But as I look at it, I wish I had maybe did 50-50 or broke even or maybe even lost more than I made. I might not have been in this business today. I might have been on a 9-to-5 where I can have a career and ready to retire by now.
Well, listen, I want to talk about how you got into the Dallas Cotton Bowl. How did that come about?
Well, it started, you know, back at the time, right about the Johnny Taylor time, when there was two games being played here in Dallas with Grambling and Prairie View. And, you know, the Prairie View athletic director and Grambling them, they were going through a lawsuit with a big agency that was promoting the game. They wanted out of the contract. And in order to get out the contract, the agency lost the lawsuit, and so the court said, you got to promote 5 games free for these universities in order to settle this lawsuit. So the agency said, well, look, we ain't going to make no money. Let's go get these young guys here and let them promote the game and pay them some kind of fee, and they just walked away from it. And we turned the game around at that time, and we had more people in there than what they had the year before or the years before, and we just grew it because, you know, we live being black. You know, mm-hmm. A white agency trying to promote something. Not to say it's not done, because it's done all the time. When the mega stars become mega stars, you don't find a black promoters promoting Beyonce. You know, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't find black promoters promoting Garth Brooks. They won't even take our phone call to even sell us a big country and western act. And when the black acts get big, you know, they go to the white acts, you know, the Live Nations, the AEG, and I'm not downing them or downing the company, but it's just a fact, you know. And you know, and that's how we got involved in the classic game. And I've been in every major stadium across the country, from the Silver Dome to Soldier Field to the Astrodome, the Cotton Bowl, Arrowhead Stadium, Memorial Stadium in Austin, Independence Stadium in Shreveport. I've played and promoted games in every major stadium. When Eddie Robinson was living with Gremlin, his motto was "Have team, will travel," and that's what we did. He had a team because he knew that he couldn't make any money at Gremlin, because everybody would see him every day at Gremlin. You know, I mean, it wasn't drawing at Gremlin, so he had to take the show on the road with the band, with the team, and that's what we did. We took the show, and we called it entertaining. It wasn't about football. We had a show we was bringing to town. When we went to town, we light up the city, and we marketed it as an event, not a football game. That's the last thing we talk about is football.
Right. Well, I heard it was just, it's always just expected. People look forward to it. They're excited about it. It's a big to-do. And so I'm very excited that your hands is on that. Let me ask you, what do you have going on now? So now what's going on? You got Mother's Day coming up. You got these months coming up where things are always popping. What's happening? What you got going
on? Well, what we designed in our company to do today is do more events than just looking for individual shows. We just come off Valentine weekend. We had three jazz shows, one in San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas, and then we had another show in Hampton, Virginia, which Teddy Riley and friends, and it was a host of people. Teddy Riley, Guy Blackstreet, Drew Hill, Al B. Shore, and it was a gang of people on that show. And that whole weekend was a good weekend, but Mother's Day weekend is one that we always, you know, take pride in, because I love gospel, and we have a big gospel show in Baltimore, Maryville, Indiana, and Hampton, Virginia, and that's with Marvin Sapp, Stephanie Mills, Travis Green, Anthony Brown in Group Therapy, Erica Campbell, Tasha Cobb. So it's a big show, and we've done well with it over the years, and we've been running that about 10 years in a row. We always put a secular act, because most of these secular acts in Baltimore, we put a secular act, like we got Stephanie Mills this year. A couple of years ago, we did Gladys Knight. And where do they come from? They come from the churches.
Right. So that's good. So we need to, you know, I need to get some tickets so we can get some winners, some giveaways, Al, just letting you know that.
No problem.
Just putting a bug in your ear, because we got a lot of my listeners are in the DMV area, Baltimore, all over the nation. So wherever this show is going to be, I will definitely keep them posted. But how can they locate you? What's your website address and any social media that you're on before we close out?
ALWE.com. ALWE.com. You go to that website, and, you know, you can find all our shows posted on the website, and we can get all our information.
Well, listen, it was so good to have this wisdom come on the line for these promoters that's out here trying to make it, trying to do some things. You are the one to go to. Please check Al Wash out. Keep up with him, his dates, and everything that he's got going on. He is definitely a treasure in the business. I'm so glad that you were able to spend time with me on Dr. Gina's radio chat, Al. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me, and anytime, you know, and we can definitely set your audience up to win tickets for the shows.
Well, all right. Al Wash is on the air. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince.
One woman's story is everyone's struggle in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
All right. I told you it was going to be a power-packed field. Informative show. You guys got the rundown from any part of the entertainment industry. I am so glad that you guys could join us all and tune in to the show. I just want you to be blessed, be fulfilled. Remember, consistency is key. You have to listen to the wisdom of people that have been there and have treaded through those storms and have made it through, so you don't have to make the same mistakes. Remember, God is head over everything. Let him sustain every good work that you do. Don't ever do it without him. You can't go without him. So remember, live healthy, live whole, live in destiny. Loving you, Dr. Gina. Have a wonderful day.
Dr. Gina's radio chat.